Corey Richens. Well, there's more charges coming against the children's author and aspiring novelist. Remember, she had the other, you know, the wag the dog letter or walk the dog letter earlier.
Yeah. Something about the dog. Yeah. And it wasn't about dogs. It was just some creativity thing coming out of her brain that was such a stupid cover.
That talked about how she wants people to testify. Well, now she's been charged with aggravated murder of the husband of her husband, Eric Richens. Now an additional charge of attempted murder following new allegations of poisoning. Prosecutors claim that Corey attempted to poison Eric on Valentine's Day of 2022 by serving him a sandwich laced with drugs, leading to a severe allergic reaction. According to the charging documents released by the Washington County Attorney's Office, Eric Richens became gravely ill after consuming the sandwich, experiencing hives and other adverse symptoms. In distress,
can I ask a question?
Yeah.
So, well, actually, it's more of a statement. So I've got my browser open. I'm going to type in, and I want everybody to hear this as evidence that I'm looking this up for work. What drugs have no taste? Because how do you lace a sandwich of all things with drugs and he not know it?
I don't know.
What drugs don't have a taste? So in case for some reason somebody's looking up my search history. Oh, look at she looked this up.
I don't know. You know. I don't know. I know that like antifreeze tastes like Kool-Aid.
And, which is why a lot of dogs will drink it and get sick.
And it's why there's a lot of cases where people are slowly poisoned with that. Over time, it just keeps more and more and more, and then they die. In distress, he contacted friends and expressed suspicion that his wife, Corey, had attempted to poison him. He almost lost me, Eric reportedly told one friend, describing the frightening ordeal after consuming the tainted sandwich. You could hear fear in his voice, the charging documents state. The documents reveal that Corey Richens had allegedly procured illicit fentanyl prior to Valentine's Day, and the incident had sought stronger doses following Eric's initial illness. Prosecutors suggest financial motives, pointing to life insurance policies valued at nearly $2 million taken out by Corey on Eric without his knowledge. Corey, who has yet to enter a plea but has denied all the allegations, faces a litany of charges, including aggravated murder, mortgage fraud, insurance fraud, and forgery. Her attorney maintains her innocence, saying there is nothing in the documents that affects Corey's approach to defending whatever charges the state levies against her. Her preliminary hearing date has been set for May 15th in the district court. Did you find out what it, anything? I have some guesses.
Yeah, this is according to USA Today. Some people say that fentanyl smells like popcorn when burned, which I don't know why you're burning fentanyl. But
well, she probably wouldn't be burning it, but I could see her crushing it up and like putting it in mayo or something.
Oh, it is odorless and tasteless. It cannot be detected without chemical detection tools such as fentanyl testing strips. So, okay, it could just be in there. Because I'm trying to figure out, like, what kind of sandwich? I mean, is this like a tuna salad, maybe?
If you're going to poison somebody, I think a salad-based sandwich would probably not be a bad option because there's so much stuff in there. And every time you have like a tuna salad or a chicken salad, it's always a little bit different than the last one. It's like, oh, what is that? Did you add sesame seeds to this one? Or did you add sunflower seeds or whatever it may be? Oh, yeah, that's great. So you could just say, oh, maybe it's the truffle oil I used. Or, well, I don't know. There's 1,000 things you could say.
I decided to put cranberries in there. Those aren't, you know. All kinds of different variations you could do on it. But when I hear sandwich, I think of like a roast beef sandwich. So how do you put drugs in that? You don't.
Oh, you could. You could mix that in, like, again, mayo or something or mustard. You could just crush up the fentanyl, mix it in with that stuff. Boom. You're never going to notice.
Oh, my God. Well, we're not advocating for that.
No, but that would make sense because it sounds like she needed to go to the higher dose of fentanyl because round one didn't work too well. So,
yeah.
Then it went to the drink. I don't know how this stuff works. I don't know, like, when you take poison, is it, like, what's the quicker way that it would affect you? If you drink it or if you consume it, like, within a food product, what will get to your system faster? I'd almost guess drinking it would, because if it's mixed with a food product, there's more to kind of break it apart or to slow the the effects of it, I guess. I don't know. That's my guess.
Yeah, I would think if it's ground up, you've already taken one of the processes out of digesting it, really.
Okay.
So now it's a little more bioavailable, if that makes sense, but I don't know that for sure. I mean, and fentanyl is very potent. So depending on how much she put in there, he probably felt it like right away, which it sounds like he did.
Yeah. And it sounds like it did not kill him, but certainly had an effect. My question would be, Eric, what convinced you to stick around after thinking that your wife poisoned you? I'm guessing
the kids, wasn't it?
I'm guessing it was that. And if you don't have proof, then you're sitting there going, well, if she's capable of doing this to me, is she capable of doing it to the kids too? It probably is a fear protection thing is what I'm guessing. But God, what a shitty place to be in.
Yeah. And just devastating for the family. And what bothers me so much, you know, even if he had this suspicion and he stayed, which he did, not blaming him, but they had the financial means for him to have gotten out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of people stay in relationships they don't belong in because they don't have the means to get out. They're stuck.
Yep.
And he definitely had the means to get out. He had the means to put her somewhere else, to take him and the kids, do whatever he needed to do to feel safe. And he didn't do it.
Well, he also probably knew how vindictive that this woman is. And who knows what she may have said to him to keep him there as well. If he did try to leave.
Why would you suspect your wife of trying to poison you? Something, it's not, you know, if you get sick after eating food, I'm a horrible cook. I've poisoned people. Nobody thought I was trying to kill them. It was just, oh, Jesus, Stacy is just the worst cook. Yeah, we all know that. So, but nobody thought I was trying to kill them.
Sure, sure. You know? I mean, there's probably so much that went on behind the scenes in this relationship that we are unaware of in terms of manipulation and such that there's got to be probably a lot of reasons why he thought that his best bet for the sake of the kids was to stay there. And it's never a good idea, but I can understand being in that situation and going, I'm looking out for the kids more than me here, and I don't trust her alone with them. And there's no lever I can pull that will just suddenly get them out of her care other than me just saying something. And then it's just, he said, she said, and we know how that typically works.
Yeah. Well, and especially, and you brought this up when this case first broke, you know, he's a guy and guys typically don't fare well in situations like this. People don't believe that men are being abused and we don't know that he was being abused. Obviously, ultimately here, we're kind of suspecting it based on what happened to him. But the community doesn't look kindly at men who are trying to get away from a crazy woman. It just doesn't work that way. We have more sympathy for women trying to get away from abusive men.
I don't know that it doesn't work that way. It's just men don't talk about it very much.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
And I think that's more the reality of it than, but if you can clearly spell out what's going on and people understand, I don't think it's that difficult to have people go, oh gosh, yeah, you had to do what you had to do to get out of that. But men just oftentimes don't speak about it. And there's like kind of a shame to it. There shouldn't be.
We've made them shameful about it. They should be able to come out and say, I'm being fucking abused at home.
Yep. Well, the idea that it's only one way is insane. It's not. I would venture to believe that it is an extremely high number. That maybe even equal, I would almost say, quite honestly, in terms of abuse, maybe not necessarily physical, but the mental abuse end of things. Insanely high, I think, but not, there's not probably any accurate numbers for it because it doesn't get reported well. And that's just the reality of it. I've been a victim of it myself, several times now. And it's like anything where when you're in this, that setting, you don't necessarily see it until it's late and you're like, oh, holy shit. Even if you do recognize it, again, I can relate to Eric a lot on that, where it's like the best thing to do is stick around, take care of the kids. I'm not saying it really truly is, but in your mind at the time, it is because you're looking out for them and you're afraid of what they could do to them as a way of hurting you. And unfortunately, there's some people out there, some women out there. I mean, men are too. But there's women out there that, you know, that they don't have any empathy. They truly don't have the feelings for the kids. And they would harm them for the sake of hurting the partner, for whatever wrong they're perceived to have done to that partner. And that's the biggest way that, that one can hurt their partner is by doing something like that. And we've seen it quite often. We've seen it on both ends of the scale. But yeah, it's a scary, scary place to be in. And the answer is never, though, stick around. It's you get your case together and you get those kids out of there and you need to say what you need to say. You know, feelings be damned. If there's abuse going on, you have to get to a place where you are protecting your kids. And protecting them does not mean staying in those situations.
Well, and there's nothing wrong with reclaiming your life and saying, I deserve better, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, truly, more people need to do that.
Unfortunately, in this case, it did not work out that way. And we saw a mad woman go to the lengths at which she did, allegedly.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free.
So you can binge on true crime.
Until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now. Or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.